Chapter 16. Of the three pits Cal had been tossed into over the past 24 hours, the one he had been tossed into most recently was by far the most impressive. It was deeper than the others, 4 times his height maybe, with glassy, smooth sides that were practically vertical. The ground was made of a hard, ash-gray rock, while the metal hatch set into the hole's one continuous wall was much larger and more ominous than the others had been. He didn't think there were any animals back on Earth that wouldn't be able to fit through that hatchway, although this was largely because he had always refused to accept the fact that whales weren't fish. Unlike the other pits, where spectators stood around and peered over the sides, raked seating had been custom-built all the way around the hole. 80 or so people in Zyrtex uniforms watched from their seats, while a couple of dozen grimaced down from a standing-room-only area at the front. Behind the grimish was a grand, imposing chair with a high back, thick armrests, and luxurious padding. It was a chair fit for a king, or, in this case, a self-made queen.
"I blame you,"
announced Bajazzle, standing in front of the chair, her robotic eye burning beneath her shadowy hood. Cal glanced at Lauren and Mizette. They both shrugged. "For what?" Cal asked.
"For this. For all this. For everything,"
Vajazzle replied.
"If it weren't for you, we would never have been following the route we were on. We would never have warped into the vortex. We would never have been stranded here."
"Yeah, but you're not stuck here, are you?" said Cal. "You've got ships. You can leave any time you want." Vajazzle nodded slowly, then raised her eyes to the vortex. It sat like a scab on the purple-blue sky.
"Do you know what's through there, Mr. Carver?"
"Home," said Cal. "Well, maybe not home exactly, but our galaxy at least."
"No, that's what you think," said Vajazzle. "You assume it leads back to where we came from. That's a guess. I asked if you knew."
Cal looked at the vortex and frowned. "Well, I mean, it's a door, right? Doors go both ways." Vajazzle lowered herself into her seat.
"Is it? You know that, do you? How do you know it isn't one way? How do you know we wouldn't be vaporized by it, or that we wouldn't come out somewhere truly terrible?"
"This place is pretty terrible," Cal pointed out.
"It sustains life," replied Vajazzle. "Next time, we may not be so lucky."
A murmur of agreement went around the audience. "You know what I think?" said Cal. "I think you want to stay here. I think you get a kick out of being emperor or queen or whatever you're pretending to be. You've got no reason to think that hole up there doesn't take you right back to where you left. Back to these people's homes, their friends, their families."
"Perhaps, but I think friends and family are overrated," said Vajazzle.
There was a clanking from the hatch as something heavy approached the door.
"Don't you agree, Mr. Carver?"
It was the inflection in her voice that told Cal what was coming next, that smug, superior-sounding edge to her words. Cal's heart dropped in time with the hatch. He heard Lauren gasp in shock at the sight of the hulking, dinosaur-like creature that stomped through, each footstep trembling the ground.
"Oh, no," Cal whispered. "No, no, no."
"Leave this thing to me," Miz growled, launching herself at the monster Cal knew was Splurt.
"Miz, no!"
Cal yelped. Then he grimaced as a crunching backhand fist struck her across the jaw, smashing her against the wall. She dropped to the ground, tried to get up, then collapsed as her legs gave way beneath her. Something swished past Cal's ear. He and Lauren both turned to find a spear sticking out of the ground behind them, the wooden shaft still vibrating from the impact.
"Perhaps that will help balance things up," the Jazzle said.
Lauren wrenched the spear from the ground and spun on the spot, forcing Cal to duck out of the weapon's path.
"Wait, Lauren, don't!"
Cal protested, but it was too late. She made a lunge for the dino Splurt, stabbing with the spear's sharpened point. Splurt grabbed for the weapon, but Lauren was too fast. She yanked it back, then drove it into the monster's side, jamming the tip beneath one of the armored plates that covered his back. But the dino thing either didn't notice or didn't care. He turned, and the spear was yanked from Lauren's grasp. She made a lunge to grab it again, but Splurt carried on turning, his tail sweeping across the ground. Lauren jumped just in time to avoid the tail, but a fist clubbed her in the ribs, doubling her over. She landed awkwardly, her lungs rapidly filling with fire. Staggering, she grabbed for Cal, who caught her before she could hit the ground. Through all this, the crowd above had cheered and clapped and stamped their feet, loving every minute. Only Vajazzle looked less than enthused by it.
"Don't finish them too quickly. Take your time. Make them suffer," she instructed.
She jabbed a withered finger at Cal.
"Him especially."
Instinctively, Cal reached for a witty response, that perfect arrangement of words that would both mask his growing sense of terror and get right on Vajazzle's nerves. He couldn't find it, though. The words weren't there.
"We have to kill that thing,"
Lauren wheezed.
"No, we can't," said Cal. "There must be a way,"
Lauren insisted, unwrapping her arm from around Cal's shoulder and taking her weight on her own two feet.
"You go high, I'll go low. Maybe if we both attack at the same time, we can take him down."
"No, that's not what I mean," Cal said. "We can't kill him, because that's..."
Mizette flew at the dino thing, claws and teeth both bared. She slashed wildly, once, twice, again, again, cutting grooves in its leathery hide. Surprised, the monster stumbled, and Lauren raced to join the fight. Diving into a roll, she grabbed the shaft of the spear, twisting it deeper beneath the armor plating.
"Stop! Guys, leave him alone!" Cal shouted. "It's Splurt!"
Miz and Lauren both hesitated, just for a moment. It was long enough. Splurt lashed out, driving a granite-like fist into the side of Mizette's head. As she fell, he turned, cracking Lauren across the jaw with an open backhand slap that stung Cal's skin from several feet away. Cal stepped into the monster's path, his hands raised in front of him.
"Splurt, buddy, you have to stop this," he implored. "I don't know what she's done, but this isn't you. This isn't my little pal."
Splurt's dino muzzle pulled up into a silent snarl, revealing some ludicrously large teeth. Cal flinched, fighting the urge to burst into tears and run away.
"Come back to me, buddy. You belong with us."
An expectant hush had fallen over the crowd now. Lauren and Miz were both back on their feet, but both were dazed, bloodied, and keeping their distance.
"Well, this is boring,"
Vajazzle announced, and a ripple of laughter went through the crowd.
"Kill them."
At once, Splurt reared up to his full, terrifying height. His hulking fists clenched, and his yellow eyes blazed with fury. Cal thought about standing his ground, but to do so would be suicide. He jumped back just as Splurt brought both fists swinging down, missing Cal by inches. The ground rumbled beneath them. At first, Cal thought it was another earthquake, but then part of the stadium seating exploded, spilling screaming Zyrtec's troops into the pit. Vajazzle was on her feet, leaping to safety just as a crackling bolt of energy detonated her throne. Hissing with rage, she vanished in a flash of purple sparkles as a rain of spears fell across the seats around her. Chaos spread through the crowd like headlice through a kindergarten. Some of the less panicky Zyrtec's troops drew blasters and returned fire, but most of them ran for cover as another barrage of laser beams punched holes in the arena. The metal hatch slammed closed. Cal turned away from the top of the pit and saw that Splurt and the Zyrtec's men were gone. Miz and Lauren were leaning on each other, each one holding the other up.
"What's happening?"
Lauren coughed, grimacing as pain poked at her ruined ribs.
"Mech?"
"Got to be," said Cal. He cupped his hands around his mouth. "Mech! Down here!"
Another part of the stadium exploded, showering Cal in fragments of stone and wood. He blinked through the dust cloud until he could make out a broad-chested figure standing at the edge of the pit.
"So much for sending a signal,"
Mech grunted.
"We got a little distracted," Cal said.
A group of Grimish raced behind Mech, chasing down two fleeing Zyrtec's grunts.
"Think maybe you could give us a hand up?"
"1 minute,"
said Mech. He clanked away. Cal heard blaster fire, then screams, then more clanking.
"How could that be Splurt?" Lauren demanded. "And why didn't you tell us?"
"I was going to," said Cal.
Miz snorted. It hurt, but she didn't let on.
"No, I was. I wanted to," Cal insisted. "It's just, I don't know. I didn't want to believe it myself."
A coil of rope hit him on the head, braining him.
"Ow!"
"Look out,"
Mech called.
"Thanks for the funking warning,"
Cal hissed, rubbing his head. He looked up to see Mech standing at the edge of the pit, the other end of the rope wrapped around his outstretched arm. Cal gave the rope a couple of sharp tugs, then stepped aside and gestured for Lauren and Miz to go first.
"Can you make it? Can you climb?"
Lauren nodded, just once. She brushed frostily past Cal, took hold of the rope, and began to climb using just her arms. Halfway to the top, the pain became too much, and she was forced to use her legs for the rest of the climb. Miz went next, scrambling up the rope in a matter of seconds, then springing off onto solid ground. If she was hurt, and she had to be, she wasn't about to show it. Cal grabbed the rope and began to heave himself up. It was trickier than it looked, and he spent the first few seconds just dangling from both hands and twirling gently. He stretched out a leg, trying to get a foot on the wall. After a few more seconds of this, he managed to get a foothold.
Bingo!
His foot slipped off again.
"Could you maybe just pull me up?" Cal asked. "It's been a rough couple of days."
Mech retreated from the pit edge, and Cal thudded against the wall. He clung on tightly as his bare back and one shoulder were dragged slowly up the wall. Then he rolled onto solid ground again, still holding tightly to the line. After enjoying a few moments of not being dragged up a wall, Cal got to his feet. Huge chunks of the stadium seating area were now just smoldering ruins. Running battles were taking place between groups of Zyrtecs and Grimish, but Cal couldn't really figure out who was on whose side or who he should be cheering for.
"Thanks for the rescue," Cal said.
"Anytime,"
Mech grunted.
"Look out,"
Miz warned, just as a series of explosions blasted what was left of the stadium to pieces. She and the others, even Mech, covered their heads and ducked as the debris hurtled past them.
"Jesus, did our guys do that?"
asked Cal.
"Where did they get the firepower?"
"Not us,"
said Mech.
Them.
Cal and the others followed Mech's finger. Cal's jaw flopped open.
What the fonk are those?
Three low, squat, tank-like vehicles emerged from a hole in the front of Vajazzle's downed ship. They plodded along on four legs, cannon fire screaming from a roof-mounted gun. The ground erupted a few hundred feet away, filling the air with rock, sand, and bits of burning grimish.
Thunderfoots, said Lauren. Those are Thunderfoots.
Cal frowned.
Thunder feet, surely.
Call everyone back, Lauren told Mech. Hurry, if they've got access to the Thunderfoots,
Thunder feet, then they'll have access to...
Three flying vehicles, each one about half the size of a family car, buzzed through the gap in the ship's hull. A circle of blue light on their bases seemed to be keeping them aloft, while a worrying number of guns on each one swiveled in search of something to target.
Oh, shiz,
Lauren croaked, her blue-tinged skin turning almost all the way white.
Get everyone back, now!
Too late. The drone ships erupted into spinning wheels of death, laser bolts spraying from them like sparks from a Catherine wheel. All around them, Xertex and Grimish alike fell, their bodies smoking, smoldering, and far less intact than they had been just a moment before.
Pull back!
Mech bellowed, amplifying his voice through his inbuilt PA system.
Everyone back to the platforms! Retreat!
Across the battlefield, a handful of Xertex troops scrambled back towards the stolen loading platforms. Dronzen urged them on, raining covering fire at one of the Thunderfoots to keep it distracted. Mech repeated the message in Grimish, but the tribespeople ignored him. They were too invested in the battle to stop now. They hacked and stabbed and slashed at anyone they didn't recognize, howling and screeching with banshee-like glee. The Thunderfoot returned Dronzen's fire, erupting the ground into a wall of rocks and dirt. He stumbled on, legs pumping like pistons, racing to get clear of the debris.
Run, Dronzen!
Cal shouted, as if Dronzen couldn't have figured that one out for himself. The cloud of dirt rolled up behind him. They all saw the panic flash across Dronzen's face, and then he was gone, swallowed by the sand fog. And then he was out again, powering on like a champ, coughing and spluttering as he zigzagged to safety.
Come on,
Mech urged, hurrying as fast as his metal body could manage towards the waiting platforms. They both stood side by side, turned and ready for a quick getaway. One of the platforms was empty, while Tulok sat in his wheelchair on the other, watching the battle with wide eyes and tightly drawn lips. Cal and the others all leaped, vaulted, or clambered awkwardly onto Tulok's platform, with a handful of the Xertex troops jumping aboard right behind them.
I'll take this one,
Dronzen shouted, making a run for the other platform. It ignited in a fireball as a blast from a Thunderfoot struck it. The heat hit Dronzen like a shockwave, launching him backwards off his feet. Cal and Lauren both grimaced as the heat blasted them, too. Even Miz gritted her teeth, then hurriedly patted down a patch of fur that began to smoke. Tulok, who had been shielded by Mech, didn't seem to notice the explosion. He just watched in grim silence as the Grimish were blasted to pieces by laser fire.
On second thought, get on this one,
said Cal, beckoning for Dronzen to join them. There were 17 of them on the platform, with Dronzen making 18.
Anyone else coming?
Lauren asked, scanning the battlefield. The fighting had died away to an eerie, not quite silence. Bodies and body parts littered the ground as far as the eye could see.
Nashko, Nashko Parap,
Tulok whispered.
What did he say?
Asked Cal.
He says there ain't no one else coming, said Mech.
Except those things, said Miz, pointing to where the flying drones were banking towards them.
Lauren jumped on the controls and twisted the throttle. The platform rocketed forwards, knocking over Cal, Dronzen, and all the Xertex crew like skittles. Cal thudded against the metal floor, then looked up to see that Miz had caught Dronzen before he could fall all the way. "Hey, thanks for the save," Cal said, picking himself up. And yes, that was sarcasm.
"What? He was closer," Miz said. "Besides, I want to hear him thank me in that accent."
Dronzen blinked a few times in surprise.
Thanks, mate."
"No problem,"
Miz purred, her tongue flicking hungrily across her lips.
"I'll be your mate any time you like."
"Coming up fast,"
Lauren barked. Sure enough, all three drones were closing in from behind, their weapons squirming around, trying to lock on. Mech raised an arm and unleashed a volley of laser fire, but the blasts ricocheted harmlessly off the drone's gunmetal gray hull.
"They're shielded,"
Lauren and Dronzen both said at the same time.
"Jinx,"
announced Cal, but everyone ignored him.
"Blasters won't take them down,"
Lauren continued.
"Least, not with the firepower we've got."
One of the lead drone's guns locked on. It spat concentrated bolts of fire at them, and Lauren was forced to jam the rudder hard left, sending the platform skidding sideways above the sand. Everyone who had fallen over last time fell over again. Miz grabbed Dronzen. Cal hit the deck.
"Back for more, huh?"
said Miz, gazing hungrily into Dronzen's eyes.
"Not now, Miz,"
Cal grunted, jumping back to his feet.
"And it'd be nice if someone would catch me for once."
"Go right,"
Mech warned, as another screech of laser fire peppered the ground behind them. The edge of the platform skimmed past one of the wasp boxes, and Cal held his breath, waiting to see if the insects were about to come swarming after them. Dying from 1,000 stings to the head and torso, he figured, would really round the last few hours off nicely.
"I can't shake them off," Lauren cried. "I thought you could make this thing go faster,"
Cal yelled at Mech.
"I did. It is going faster."
"Well, it's not going fast enough.
Look out!"
Lauren weaved again. Something large and important-looking was obliterated by the drone's blaster fire, and the platform shuddered noisily.
"What do we do? What do we do?"
whimpered one of the Xertex crew.
Any ideas?"
"Anyone?"
asked Cal. Unnoticed by anyone, Tulok unclipped a pouch on his belt and withdrew 5 small white stones. Each one had been carved and whittled until it was almost perfectly spherical. Tulok weighed all 5 in his hands, then slipped 2 back into the pouch. With a flick of his wrist, he tossed the first pebble so it landed just a few feet in front of the closest drone. The sand churned and writhed, then one of the huge plant-like creatures was vomited up from below the surface, its jaws opening hungrily.
Snap!
Its teeth clamped around the drone. Cal and the others watched in a mixture of shock and delight as the plant thing dragged its prey below the sand.
"Whoa!"
Cal whispered.
"That was awesome!"
Tulok smiled grimly. Balancing the remaining 2 marbles on the palm of his hand, he flicked them both, 1 at a time. They hit the sand. The sand mushroomed upwards. 2 monstrous things devoured the drones, then vanished once more beneath the sand.
"Did we get them? Are they gone?"
Cal asked, scanning the ground for any sign of the drones re-emerging.
"Seems like it," said Mech.
Dronzen also peered over the edge, studying the sand. Once he was sure nothing was coming back, he turned to Tulok.
"Thanks,"
he said.
"That was pretty amazing stuff."
Tulok raised his eyes just for a moment.
"Tosha."
"He says you're welcome,"
Mech translated. Cal and the rest of the crew looked back in the direction of Vajazzle's ship. Smoke billowed from the battlefield. The enormous Thunderfoots stomped around, patrolling the area, searching for trouble. A few Xertex troops, on Vajazzle's side, Cal guessed, prodded at piles of debris, searching for survivors, prisoners, or both.
Well, in hindsight, that was not a great plan, said Cal. I mean, literally nothing went right, really, did it?
How long did you know about Splurt? Lauren demanded.
Splurt? What about him? Asked Mech.
Tell him, said Miz. Cal sighed. I don't know. Vajazzle brainwashed him. She tortured and brainwashed him, and then turned him into a big dinosaur man. Not necessarily in that order.
And now he doesn't remember us, said Lauren.
He does remember us, Cal insisted. He's just confused, that's all. I can get through to him. I know I can.
He tried to kill you, Lauren pointed out.
He tried to kill all of us.
I totally have the situation under control, said Miz. Lauren shot her a sideways look.
Was that sarcasm, or...
Sorry to butt in, said Dronzen. It's just, now that we've escaped, what's our plan? Where are we actually going?
Cal and the others stopped arguing and peered ahead of them across the dry, barren terrain. No one said anything, but Cal broke the silence by making a series of irritating clicking sounds with his tongue. Mech was about to punch him in the head when Cal finally spoke.
That, he said, is a fucking good question.